Millennials are trying to remove the need to cheat through a polyamorous relationship.
Yeah, but that's not polyamory.
But when you got people involved in a relationship to where you feel they don't have the need to go outside of it, then you feeling that aspect of us being a part of this has moved out one element that will cause us not to be.
Greetings, gentle people. We are here, we are live, and we are in living color. Let's jump into this week's conversation. Disclaimer, this podcast is not just for gentlemen, but gentlewomen as well. Now that that's out of our way, welcome to A Gentleman's Conversation.
I will say this, since we are back, you know, we've had a very, very intense conversation about polyamorous. And I will say that monogamy is something that we've been taught. And being taught monogamy, it has its own set of rules, obligations, and understandings. Polyamorous is something you choose to be a part of and learn.
Wow.
And you learn the intricacies of this understanding through a group of people you decide to be a part of.
Oh, both the learning? Oh, both are a learning process.
Yeah, but I know, but you have more familiarity with a monogamous type thing.
Because it's been so long.
Of seeing a woman and a man together, of course. But
right.
But even when you get into polygamy, it is wrapped around a religious understanding, right. not a choice that we all can just be a part of.
As far as polyamory goes,
yeah. Polyamory, you can choose to be a part of that. To become a polygamist, you would have to be a Mormon.
Not necessarily, or Muslim, because in some Muslim states.
Copy that.
Some.
Copy that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to tell you this. In those states, the only group in the United States that is recognized for it not to be against the law is the Mormons. But everybody else.
Against the law.
Yeah, but in the state of Utah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
On
yeah,
the
yeah,
compound yeah, in yeah, which yeah, we
yeah.
reside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's all right.
Because it was founded on
such. Yes, but polyamorous is it's a lifestyle that is chosen. Let me put it that way.
Oh,
and
yeah.
In this choice, there are certain understandings that come along and go along with it. Will there develop misunderstandings in one? I'm sure. Who is perfect amongst the human race? Hey, none of us.
Cast the first stone.
None of us. But I also have to look at the facts. And those facts are simple. We discuss a point of view, looking at it from our perspective of where we are and not a part of, but just a discussion of, you know, I've never been a part of that lifestyle. The lifestyle that I was a part of, they call hoeing or macking or whatever else you want to say, playing or however you want to look at it. And I got this conversation a lot when I was a single man. I know you got somebody. I got plenty of somebodies. Just not a somebody. I mean, but it's not all about sex. Some of them, we just go to the movies. Some of them, we just hang out. You know, but people look at men and women and they reduce us to sex. That we can do nothing else but be around each other. In the understanding of just sex.
And see, that's my understanding. See, that's what that's what I feel. And I feel like, what did you say earlier, Jay, is that because How do you express that about me not interpreting you all's? You were agreeing with me, but express that.
So, you weren't.
And you I apologize, Big W. I mean to cut you off, but I'm just saying. Yeah.
You weren't necessarily listening to us when we were agreeing with you. But at the same time, with you not listening to what we were saying, you had your understanding, right? With your understanding, you can't combat something that you're not listening to. Mm-hmm. If you're not willing to learn.
Well, this curve of learning is all about the discussion.
But hold on, did he finish his?
No. He's going there.
Okay.
This learning is all about the discussion. You know, a point of view from someone that has not experienced something, their viewpoint of this is limited to someone who has had it. You, Jay, you have lived this. So your point of view will have an intensity and an understanding that differs from our point of view and an intensity because we've never lived that lifestyle.
Correct.
We are giving, we're trying to give objective understandings to the humanness that we all share and the reality of being a part of that in a multiple layered relationship with others. And this multi-layered relationship will not be free of a monogamous relationship pitfalls,
right?
Shortcomings,
because
or faults,
right?
Because you're human.
Okay, so let me ask you this: could you do a polyamorous lifestyle? Could you live that?
Not now.
No. I mean, I understand your circumstances now, but I'm saying, let's say that changed in like a year.
No.
Could you do it?
No.
Jay?
Mm-hmm.
You could do it.
Well, mm-hmm. The reason I say no is then you got to look at the factors.
Why could you not?
Because I'm at an age where that is not practical for me.
Okay.
But why is it not practical?
Well, here's the deal. I don't want to be around two women.
Or and two men.
I'm definitely not going to be around a guy and another woman.
Okay, yeah.
Now, one, a female, because I ain't into guys, would be the most I could do. See, one female.
But see, this is so the misconceptions of a polyamorous relationship is that one man has to be bi. Not saying that that's your thoughts on it.
Right. I'm not saying you can be two straight guys.
Right.
In a relationship with this one woman.
Right.
And that's fine. But I am at an age. No.
Right. No, I'm just saying.
No, if I was a younger man, then it would be different. My understanding of it and my desires for it would be different. I'm just new, not now. Now it would be, you know, if what I have all of a sudden dissolved, I would give myself time to be by me alone. Then I would see if I was ready to be with someone, and then I would move forward. But as far as that lifestyle, like I said from the beginning, you have to be open to understandings. You have to be open to discussions because it'll be more than just one person having a topic, more than one person having a discussion. The one thing that cannot exist in a polyamorous relationship is a lack of harmony. See, because if you fall out of sync and you can't get back in the sync, then it won't work. See, okay. You have to be able to weather the hiccups, weather the little shortcomings and the little idiosyncrasies that all of us have as individuals towards the bigger picture. And if you cannot mindfully set yourself towards that bigger understanding, even in a monogamous one, it won't work. See, it's different when you give and take when it's one person, as opposed to the dynamics of giving and taking from multiple people and expressing who you are as an individual and having that expression being respect by more than one person and having these people respect your individuality as you respect their individuality as y'all come together as this one unit trying to make it in this world.
Are you listening?
And that's different. You know, everybody has to have a higher willingness to step outside of themselves, me, and look at a us. Right. And if we cannot see us, then the me will not be a part of it. It is something that takes a lot more thought than just hanging a label on you.
Absolutely.
And saying, this is the lifestyle I live. Because it's more than just a label.
Right.
It is more than just me having two women or a woman having two guys. It is a dynamics that requires more from people than one can imagine when you having multiple individualities coming together as a whole, trying to make something out of this unit moving forward.
I think it was in Vogue that said, free your mind.
And the rest will follow.
Absolutely.
And see, that's our whole thing here. It is great that we discuss matters and look at it from the young folks' point of view. See, the young folks' point of view are not thinking about it in the sense that we think about it.
Absolutely.
They're not looking at long-term relationships building. They're looking at having sex with multiple people without it being a problem.
That's not it. That's not the label.
I know.
I mean, they're trying to label it as such, yes. But that's not it.
Yes. And that's what they look at, because they feel that if you have a relationship where you can eliminate the urge to cheat,
mm-hmm.
then you will have a more sustainable relationship.
But see, this is the thing. A lot of those younger people are saying that that's the thing. But when you look at it, when did you tell her that you were sleeping with such and such? Or when did you tell him that you were sleeping with such and such?
Oh, it wasn't no beginning.
Y'all have this understanding, so why didn't you share it?
No, because they didn't have an understanding.
Exactly.
They hope to develop one after the feelings that this one has for you have reached a level to where she don't want to leave or he don't want to leave, and you either accept this shit or you get to step it. Because I'm going to do this, you can be a part of this, but either way it go, it's going down.
As my late great cousin would say, bingo, Pacino.
See, and that's a hell of a thing to be put into if you're not wanting to be willingly brought in or willingly wanted to participate with.
Right.
See, you can't be forced into polyamory.
There's an understanding.
But see, it has to be from the start.
Yeah,
from the beginning.
Up front. Jump street.
It cannot be something that is developed. Oh, I didn't tell you. Oh, well, shit, baby, you know, you'll be all right. You know, just come on in here and be a part of this. We all got it together. You know, you can be a part of this. Shit, you ain't got to trip out. You know what I'm saying? Some loving for you, some loving for me.
Yeah, we can make
this thing work. See, that's some bullshit.
But see,
that's some bull.
Look at how you said that. That's a man's mindset, a younger man's mindset.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. No, but once the female says, okay, I'm about to go screw Bob. Is that okay with you?
Oh, hello.
Oh, no. Now you're trying to put your hands on me.
Well, see, here's the thing. Here's the thing about men. And men have this to a fault.
Some.
Well, a greater majority of us.
98.
You know, a greater majority of us.
98%.
We have the understanding that women don't have the capacity to fuck freely.
Why not?
Because they involve their feelings in this. See, most women.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get with somebody just to get with them. They get with somebody they have feelings for, that they have developed feelings for, or they want to have feelings for, and they get with them. But in the sense that a man can go get with somebody that don't give a damn. He ain't got to care about her. He ain't got to feel nothing. He's just finna bust it, pop it, and keep it moving.
But watch this. Were women not taught that through what they were as far as...
Well, here's a term that I'm going to use. I connect it to religion, but I'll also say wholesomeness.
Okay.
As a connotation that we have taught our women to sleep around is to be a whore.
Be careful. Ooh.
We have taught our men to sleep around that. Is to sow your oats.
Be careful.
Ah, yes, shall tell you.
So when you look at the two and you say, I am doing what is expected of a man, but you are not a man, therefore this cannot be expected of you.
You ain't got no oats to sow.
See, no, none whatsoever. You know, you got some fields to plow, but you ain't got no oats to sow. And we have tied our work in being in a relationship to women. See, and this is the thing. If I can see you out, find you attractive, and you find me attractive, and I get in them draws, I'm not finna make you my old lady. Even though you may be digging me, and the only reason you did this is because you like me. But because you did this, in my mind as a man, anybody else can come along and get it too. Therefore, you have become the pass around, the village bicycle. Everybody wants to ride. See, and we think that way. And another thing, it's hard for a man to deal with a woman that's straight up. Look here, I like you. I'm digging you. I'm gonna give you some, but we ain't in no relationship. Please don't come around my house. Please don't be calling me all the time thinking we in something.
Because you ain't the only man.
Because you ain't the only one.
That I'm fucking.
Well, see, most guys want to be with them girls and have a relationship. Because the guys that's single that would be cool with it never run into the heifers that's about that. We always run into the ones that want to be in a relationship. Because I know. I was out there a long time. I like running into the motherfuckers that were talking about, I'm with it, and you go home and I go home. Cool. Beautiful. I love it. But you don't do that. As men, we are taught to lie because we understand what lying is about. Lying is us telling you we were on a relationship when all we really want to do is fuck. See, that's truth. But you can't go up to no girl and say, look, I'm digging you. I think you're fine. You look good. You smell good. I just want to beat them drawers up and go home. No. You got to pretend that you want to know her, that you want to be a part of her life, that you're interested in her individuality. And then when you get what you want and leave, you become the dog because you had to go through all of that just to get the draw.
One more time. Say that for the people in the back who didn't hear you.
So, are you going to say that? Can you recall all that? Okay, so... You good? Okay, well, I'm going to answer the
question. Go ahead.
And you all comment how you feel. But as it relates to our understanding of polyamorous relationships.
Correct. For me,
and this is just me.
Blanketed understanding or your understanding?
Perspective.
Well, here's the thing.
Perspective.
I'll let you tell me what you feel like that is.
No. But go ahead.
Because I feel like it's going to be both. I feel like there are going to be some individuals that feel that way, especially women. So let me express this and then you express afterwards.
Yeah.
I feel like as it relates to this, and I feel like this is an incredible topic because I have two daughters. I have two older daughters and I have two younger daughters. And so my older daughters being 21, 25, they're living their lifestyles and I cannot ignore the fact that they could very well hear this podcast or be reading this prior even to this. And when I say not this, but the understanding of polygamy, polyamory, all these types of relationships. I feel like for the most part, and this is such a cruel statement, is that number one, I feel like that men ignite a lot of the understanding that goes across the board. Because, and I say this, and you all can cut me off any point in time, because when you think of polygamy, how many women do you know that are in a polygamous relationship and they have multiple husbands? I don't know many. I've even tried to research it and couldn't find any. Amen. But I know multiple men. Now, go.
there is a culture in India that are away from the
mainstream
society. They live up in the hills, per se. And they have multiple husbands that are, if you look at that particular culture, they're brothers.
Wow, never.
They're brothers or cousins, like legit.
Wow.
And I will point you to it.
Wow, that's a little awkward.
But is it?
That's careful.
That's careful. It's awkward because of what we've been taught.
I love you, Jay. But the fact that I know that last night you slept with.
But if we had this understanding,
Azmuth.
Well, here we go.
I sleep with that.
Here we go. You can.
And we blood brothers.
Well, here's the deal. See, you just walked into that situation with your understanding of now, who you are now, right. Not being a part of a culture that is not taboo. Right.
But I'm being honest.
Yeah, I know. I'm being honest. I know. But see, your honesty is still derived from a point of view. And that's taboo to us. That's okay. Totally taboo. Okay,
so let me finish my thought.
It's not a normality.
Yeah.
Let me finish my thought. So I feel like, as it relates to the millennials, I feel like this is a way for them to still experience multiple sexual experiences with less drama. And there is an understanding and a consciousness about relationships, but I still feel like this is about sexual gratification and not so much as about relationships. That's just my opinion.
Okay. So if you say it that way, if you say, I look at this as a guy having the best of both worlds, his cake and eating it too. If you got two women or a female having the best of both worlds, two guys that she's digging in. Okay. Sex. The basis of putting it all the way down into that human response. No relationship. Just sex. And that's the thing. When you take it all the way down to that element right there and you say that I believe that this is about, then you eliminate their capacity as humans to reach for anything more within themselves, dealing with situations that they may feel comfortable with. So because you got to feel comfortable with this. You know, you should never, ever do something. And what I would tell my daughters is don't be talked into doing something you're not comfortable with to appease someone you want to be comfortable with. See, and not to be tricked or trapped in your feelings for them in accepting something that you would not accept. See, this would be my understanding. This would be what I would convey, because as a father, and I'm going to give you some serious honesty here.
Talk to us.
As a father, I can honestly say that my past personality of my youth is an individual I would not want around now one of my daughters.
Exactly. I knew he was about to say that.
Now one of them. Not now one of them. And this is me. This is me being honest, because I was clever. Hmm. And most guys ain't clever like I was.
Right.
I was clever.
Right.
I was patient. Right. I was methodical.
You was charming.
Totally charming.
Charismatic.
To a fault. To a fault, because I never pressured no female to want to get with me, but gave her every opportunity to be with me.
Hi.
That's that.
See, and that's what I'm saying. So what I did was I just gave them information. That's all we can do. Like you say, they have more information available to them, but wisdom is different.
It's different
than intellect,
because that's understanding.
See,
wisdom is understanding.
See, and how you apply that which you understand. See, that tells you whether or not you've learned. See.
But if you haven't learned, is it wisdom?
If you haven't learned, then you won't apply it right, then you don't know.
So do you feel that, and I mean, I'm not.
Go for it, Doc. You don't have to explain. Just okay, shoot from the hip.
So do you feel that a polyamorous relationship is, at its core, sexually based or relationship based with sexual connection intended?
And that's a broad.
That's a loaded question.
That's broad.
It's a loaded question.
Can I chime in? I know you asked him.
No, please.
Is a monogamous marriage based on sex? Or is it based on building upon with the intent of sexual?
Well,
my opinion. Go ahead.
I will say this. In all other formats, one does not stand up there and make a vow to agree to something. See, and then have this vow locked and bound through the ceremonial understanding of what we're doing. You know, we say we polyamorous, we say this and we say that, but at any time I decide I don't want to be a part of this, I don't have to be a part of this. And at no time did I agree with you that I was going to be in this until you not be here no more.
But
see,
the reason that is not a thing is because of the United States' laws and bylaws and all of this.
Well, the laws, and I understand it because it is against the law to have more than one wife.
In the United States.
Yes. In the United States. Because
if that were a thing, I know several families that would be a thing.
Well,
everybody in that situation would be married.
Absolutely. But see, you also have to say, okay, we have these, and I'm going to use a term here, restrictions.
Yes. And that's what they are.
Restrictions, yeah. on our individuality as to how much of it we can express and how.
Right.
Okay. Because we're not free to do whatever we want to.
But this is
we are with the understanding that we have limitations on what we can do within the confines of what is the legalities of it all and what is not.
But are you really free?
Freedom is a state of mind.
Mm-hmm. Shondo. Hey, look, we're not talking about the Matrix.
Okay, but so I'm just saying, though, freedom is a state of mind. You can feel like a prisoner in a polyamorous situation.
You can feel like a prisoner
that you don't want to be.
Monogamous.
That you don't want to be.
Marriage.
A part of anymore.
So back to my question.
Now, these are notions. These are notions of people, and we are discussion. See, we're, and y'all must understand something. We are trying to objectively look at the pitfalls, right? The pitfalls of this situation, and we haven't really touched on the ups, because we look at how wrong it could go. We look at how bad it could be. We look at what some of the changes could take place being a part of it, right? Now, all of it can go wrong. A monogamous relationship can go wrong. A polyamorous relationships can go wrong.
Absolutely.
All of that can go wrong. There is no guarantees that if you become a part of this, you're going to have this ultimate human factor success.
Right.
See, human factor of success, because y'all could be in this for the right reasons and it still decay, still fall apart, and y'all still wind up going your separate ways. The melding of individualities And the melding and the coming together of people who are like-minded and trying to do something have to set forth goals that they can obtain together, knowing that they may not be able to be reached individually.
Okay, so, and excuse me for cutting you off. So I love the comment of a mental understanding.
Okay.
So still going back to my original question, and I propose this to you, Jay, because you live this lifestyle. Do you feel like, and we're referring to the millennials, do you feel like this is just about being able to sexually be disattached from the drama of having multiple partners, which makes this about sex? Or is this about relationship building and sex is a complementary attribute to it?
No, it's about sex.
No, I'm talking about him.
Yeah, No. Yeah, absolutely. With the millennial standpoint, it's about sex. They haven't gotten to that point. It's a rarity that a millennial has gotten to the point in their mindset that, oh, I need to build something with other people in mind. It's about what they can get right now and how they can get it sex-based.
See, they got a word for that. They call it gratification.
You know, exactly. So, you know what we need to do? We need to have a similar topic with some millennials on the mic.
That would be... Well, see, you have to have someone that's mature enough.
Right, of course.
Because
he or she's going to have to be deep.
They're going to have to.
And I prefer a male and a female.
They're going to have to because... And it needs to be because a point of view from us being older will always be looking back.
Exactly.
See, we look back because we're older.
Right.
And we look at the experiences that we have and we draw from those as being part of our discussion.
Because they ain't never been our age before.
No.
We've been theirs.
See, so, and when I was that age, I was not thinking about relationships and building. I was thinking about getting me some and who's next.
Right.
And when you look at it from that point of view.
And the ones that you build a relationship with, it's because it was good.
Well, yeah. I mean, definitely. But it was more, too.
What was good?
The wheat.
Well, it was a little bit more deeper than that. I have a very strong intellectual understanding, and I need a woman, as my boy would say on Coming to America, to stimulate my intellect
as
well as my loins.
Can I get a little bit of both? Can it be an even playing field, even now,
because everything has transitioned so much.
Right.
When 2000 hit, everything transitioned.
Yes, it did.
And, you know, you get women that say, okay, you know, the reason why y'all got problems with us is because of our power. Well, let's kind of carefully analyze that, because a lot of y'all see that power, it's manipulation.
Well, yeah. Well,
so we need to kind of fix that.
And I thought about that, though. I think that the role for women and a man's perspective or their understanding of us, they keep us locked to an old tradition that they have freed themselves from.
Yeah, but when you talking about the millennials, they not in it.
Well, the millennials don't know nothing from nothing.
Yeah, they don't.
Their perspective is what's going on now. How do I benefit from now? And then moving forward, will I benefit some more?
And the smart millennial is, look, I got mine. I'm building it. What you got?
What you bring?
Bring it to the table.
Well, what you bring? You know what though? That should be with anybody.
It should be
right,
but your daughter knows that because you taught it to her.
Hold on.
But if we compare her, go ahead. And your daughter knows that.
But see, this is the thing. With that being said, with them knowing it, even if they don't know it, but they do know it because they said it. I'm building mine. If you bring, even in a polyamorous relationship, what can you bring to the table? Not sexually.
Right.
Not only sexually. I'll say that. Not only sexually, but we're kingdom building.
Okay, so kingdom building is not about... Do you not feel like you pick your wife?
Okay.
To understand what can she bring to the
polygamy
table?
Polygamy is different than polyamory.
Oh, no, right. But I'm saying, but you just said, I want to know what you brought to the, you can bring to the table. So you do not feel like that same mindset is in polygamy as well?
No, it is not.
It's not.
Because in polygamy, I am the absolute, and y'all are there for me.
No. If you look it up.
If
polygamy, look at polygamy.
I am the absolute, and y'all are there for me.
Exactly.
So polygamy is just about sex.
It's about me having what I want.
It's about the dominant. Being the one in charge. Yeah, no, listen. Hold on. It's about the dominant, right? That dominant, male or female, with multiples, it's not right. It's not about what you bring. Mm-mm. I'm bringing it to you.
Right.
And you gonna take it any way I give it.
Absolutely. See, because your role is to submit to my will.
That's polygamy. It's not polyamory. It's different.
Now, here's something.
Polygamy is from a religious standpoint.
I understand that. But still, even as a polygamist, you have to bring in someone that's
No, they don't.
You
have to build it. See, so I'm just going to get her because she got big titties and a big ass?
No.
Absolutely.
So
I disagree.
No. Well, show me then if you disagree.
If you look at any of the Mormons
that's in a polygamous relationship, show me any of the women that look like they got something going on.
But that's the whole point, though. If I'm already in a Mormon relationship, then I look at her, oh, she's got a nice religious connection. Oh, she has a natural nurturing position. Oh,
no.
She
can make baskets. No, she digs the holes for the fence post real quick. Have you researched polygamy?
Yes, I have, Doc.
No, not in the understanding. No, not in this entirety.
Wait a minute, hold on. Pause for one second. What you're saying is this. She can cook. This one over here can bake.
Yes.
But that one right there, she can fuck because she young.
Yes.
So I got all of y'all, but y'all purpose is to service me.
I mean, even though that is the basis of
to
it,
service
still,
me.
There's a there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and I get that on the basis of saying that everybody can't be a part of this if none of y'all can motherfucking cook.
Right.
If none of y'all can motherfucking sew.
All y'all can just make
but,
me
but
come.
When you say when you say when you say when you say bringing something, I thought you meant from a financial standpoint, not a basis of skills.
But even still, if you look at the Mormon faith, none of that plays a role.
And the financial aspect, I understand because
all of us are in the same community. Not even a financial role. Because these women have been brought up in that faith.
Right. To accept this.
It does not matter
what
you can do. Because a lot of them can't do a damn thing but serve.
That's it. Yeah.
They got to be able to fall.
Here we go again.
I'm going to say this. The ones that are like-minded of what you're saying, break free from it, dog. They get out of it.
Right.
They don't be a part of it no more.
Right.
They smuggle their kids out. They escape. They try to leave
That's
out.
Why these
they
shows get their kids have out. Come about.
They don't be a part of that.
That's true.
Because see, the ones who are in it have submitted and surrendered their wills.
And they are fighting the ones who are trying to get out.
Get out, yeah. Because, you know, hey, just like slavery, Doc, you don't want nobody to be free from the bondage you in.
Well, you do know in Utah, everybody ain't a Mormon.
Absolutely.
But polygamy is still practiced.
Only on the religious basis of Mormon.
Of Mormonism.
Research that paper.
Oh, trust me, I have.
So you're saying that there
are people... You did watch the show, right?
So you're saying that there are
people... You watched the show with the cat with multiple wives. He was not a Mormon.
I don't do shows.
You're talking about sister wives. That's what you're speaking
about. They were not Mormons.
You're saying sister wives.
They were not Mormons.
That's different.
Well, where are they? Where are the sister wives based?
Where are they based?
Yes. Are they based in Utah?
Like I said, there are people who are not Mormons that practice polygamy.
Okay, and see, you got to understand something. Polygamy means more than one wife.
Exactly. And that brother said, well, the white gentleman said,
yes.
There's one that can cook,
yes.
The one that's a builder.
Now, on the sister wives things, that's their program.
Right.
That's understanding.
We were talking about religious standpoint as far as Mormons go. We weren't talking about...
Forget that whole... I mean, we're talking about
polygamy. You brought it up!
I brought it up, but I'm talking about polygamy on a platform.
You're saying that anyone who practices to have more than one wife would have these wives who are capable and functional to do more than one thing. Okay, I get that.
They're more than just bending over and let me smash it from the back.
Okay, I get that. I get that. But they ain't going to have no more than one or two. Ain't going to be no three and four.
Five and six.
Ain't going to be none of that.
Seven, eight.
I'm talking about a man that's got 75 kids.
I don't know about that. That's India.
With 10 women.
That's India. You in another country.
You'd be surprised. But here's the thing, though, guys. Here's the thing. And I've heard this from a lot of guys. It's hard to be in a relationship with one damn person, let alone multiple.
But see, where are the... You said you heard it from multiple guys. Watch this. Where are the women mindset? How were they brought up? Because if they were brought up with a different, with a polyamorous mindset, they weren't. That's why.
And there are women who practice polyamory.
And they teach their, I've seen it.
Well,
they teach their children.
Well, here is the deal. Here is the understanding, because then you're going into an understanding that this behavior has been learned. This right. behavior has been taught.
Right.
So their understandings, realities, and revealings of it would be totally different Absolutely. From a non-taught person.
Absolutely.
Someone who has not been taught would have to learn how to adjust to situations, learn how to cope with situations, learn these things, and then I put it like this. Their first go around in polyamory would probably be a failure because they wouldn't know all the mistakes they've made going around the first time. Like being in your marriage. Your first marriage is usually a piece of crap. It's your second one that works out because what you didn't know you are better at it now than you were at first.
What? But does it?
In some cases.
I know women who've been married four times.
Well, those individuals, I will say this right here, and I don't know them, but I will say this. In those five times, what did they change personally as opposed to just the women they were no longer with?
Because Jada Pinkett Smith said, while they were discussing this, she said, you know what, some of what y'all saying about this polyamorous relationship stuff, it's BS.
Uh-huh.
Some of it, okay, I agree with, but for the whole format of it, I've been married several times, but I still believe in marriage.
But why does she believe in marriage?
Yeah, she said, well, how many marriages has she been in?
First of all, what you're not going to do is judge Jada Pickett's mom.
No. Oh, Jada, you said Jada Pickett's mother.
Yeah, she fine.
Oh, the mother. You said she's been in different marriages.
But she still believes in marriage.
Okay, so
this whole polyamorous aspect, she was like, I'm not with that.
Okay, but, and then how old is she?
I mean, it's her mama. So she got to be in her 50s.
No, I would think 60s. She was older. Yeah, okay. So what you're saying then is a mindset from her era of being brought up.
Right.
And experiencing the things that she has experienced.
So are you saying this is the way then? So this is what we need to...
It's not a way.
No, this way...
You've been taught...
This way is for those who choose.
Yeah.
See, it's not a blanketed thing. And I would go so far as to say monogamy is something you learn too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
I don't think polyamory is something that's being taught.
Well,
across the board.
No.
That's because it's not.
No. Polyamory is something that is being discussed mm-hmm. by those who may be interested in it.
Or already have been a part of it. Yeah.
And their perspectives of it is weeding out the expectations, be they high or low, of the whole genre.
Yeah.
See, because anybody can decide to do something, realize that this decision isn't for them, change their mind, and decide to do something else.
Because how many people have you known to be, let's go here, how many people have you known to be Christian, right?
Okay, several, many.
They were taught that from infancy, but broke off of it whenever they felt like they were ready or they've learned certain things that took them outside of that.
With Christianity, I would have to say this. Usually people go away from it because it creates a conflict. The conflict is the things that you know not to do that you want to do and the things you should do that you choose not to.
But that's religiosity.
But see, that's the conflict though.
Yeah.
The root of all of it is this. This is the root. Wrong.
Right.
And right.
Yeah.
And how we define it and each other differs. So, this has been a wonderful discussion. And it seems that, okay, well, I don't want this to stop. I don't know what y'all want to do.
We'll be right back in our closing. I am...
Jay, you gonna give a closing?
There's nothing like a fresh pee in the morning.
God damn it.
This is not sound like...
Hold on. Listen,
we done told
man.
You that.
Pause.
And the bladder is now empty.
God damn.
You know what? Baby, hold on, pause for a minute. Shout out to my girl, Denerica. If you would, please tell me what this sounds like. In your honest opinion. Okay.
Hold on. Pause, man. Because I got it.
Shit, you got to pee?
This is the segment that we call Drink and Be Merry.
Drink and Be Merry. We about to close it out, y'all.
About to close it out. So, we've been on a couple of things. We've been on our Rolling Rock.
Very inexpensive.
It's a pale ale.
Yeah, very expensive, inexpensive brew. If you are not accustomed to it, then I suggest you at least try it. Go get your tall boy. What did you have me add to it that time?
Lemon juice.
If you one of those people that like to add salt to your pale ales, that's fine.
Yeah.
But it's very, very smooth and inexpensive, and it's a nice chaser to your straight consumption of whatever bourbon, whiskey, right?
Rum.
Copy that.
So, and another thing that we've been drinking is early times. As a bartender, when I was bartending, we had our whales, we had our bottom shelf, and we had our top shelf. Early times was one of our bottom shelves. It wasn't in the whale. Whale is, you know, your non-labeled, I can't even explain what a whale drink is, but it's bottom of the barrel. Early times is phenomenal as far as a whiskey is concerned. It's not expensive and it's not super cheap.
It is it's well balanced. It has a nice flavor. The notes come through pretty well. Easy on the palate, and it can be consumed in large quantities at home.
Yeah.
It is a for neat me
on the rocks.
It is Coke. Thank you. You took the words out of my right out of my mouth. Neat on the rocks. If you prefer to do 8 ounces, if you prefer to do a cup, depending on how you drink, if you prefer to do 16 ounces, that's fine. If you just had a hard day, you want to come in, you just want to sip on something, fill that up, and just sip on. Whether you do a 2-hour sip, 3-hour sip, or 8-hour sip, early time is a very good, smooth
sipper.
Drink. Yes, it definitely is a sipper. Now, if you are a
lightweight,
no. If you are heavyweight, and you one of those that, like, you know what, it's been a hard day, I'm gonna go ahead and dump this one, just drink it down, you know, in about 10-15 minutes, and then you want to sip the next one, it's gonna get you nice.
Yeah.
But it's oxy. It actually go
take
ahead
it from
and,
me.
Go ahead and pair it with your chaser, whether you like to do Coke, whatever it is that you like to do with it, it is that as well. But for a inexpensive whiskey, it is, or is it a bourbon? It is a whiskey?
It's a whiskey bourbon.
Bourbon is whiskey, thank you.
Yeah, it's a whiskey bourbon. It's whiskey, more so than
very
bourbon.
Good and inexpensive. We like to expose our listeners to not only the expensive and the high end, the top shelf, if you will. Definitely follow the note of our bartender, Jay, but even our lower shelf, because we feel like just because you are at a place at the end of the day where you're trying to just relax, it doesn't mean that you have to have
top shelf.
You can also find that Lividity on
a inexpensive brand that is well-rounded, and that will give you the satisfaction you look for. It is something that is smooth to the palate and can be consumed readily. And as me, someone who likes their bourbon on the rocks, it pairs good with ice. On another note. This has been a spirited conversation with you gentlemen. I do appreciate the camaraderie that we bring to the topics that we do discuss. We have a range of emotions, a range of understandings, and we hope to our listeners that we provide you with an insight to gentlemen drinking and consuming the understandings that we have on the topics that we bring.
Gentlemen and gentlewomen, gentle people. And with that being said, this is a gentleman's conversation, and we're out.